Two sisters lived on separate sides of the states. One in NYC and the other LA. They both moved to Chicago and decided to stay. Now here's their playful podcast packed with Kid Lit Parlay. Children's books.
Are they really that great?
Talking children's books is with Kate and Hughes 8.
Children's books.
Why, what, and how?
Hughes 8 and Kate will break it down for you now.
Kate, I just had a birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I accept your birthday congratulations.
How old did you turn? 61, 62, 63.
I'm just looking. Y'all can't see it. This is radio, but I'm just looking at her with like a blank. Just imagine a blank expression on my face. I'm not ashamed to say how old I am, Kate. I just can't remember what the number is. It's 46. Which I had to do after a lot of math because some of us were born in a stupid year, like 1978. So my son asked me a question, because he likes asking me very difficult philosophical questions. I'm going to ask you this question now.
All right.
He's like, when did you stop caring about the age? And Matt and I had this discussion. We came upon the answer. It was 38. That was when we were like, yeah, maybe I'm 38, maybe I'm 37, maybe I'm 39. I don't know. 40 is important, but there's a certain point where you just stop caring.
I think after 35, you start focusing on the fives.
That's exactly true.
Well, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. And who are you?
Me, Kate.
And me, Betsy. And this is?
Fuse 8 and Kate.
Very good. And on this podcast, we do?
Talk about birthdays.
Correct. No. No. I mean, sure. Sometimes.
We did.
On occasion. We just did. We just did.
Yep.
But we also talk about picture books.
Yes.
And if they are
good
or
old.
Yes. What? This week, I had already alluded to this on a previous podcast, that I wanted to do one that I heard LeVar Burton speak about. Now, he spoke about this on the Sporkful podcast. This is a very good food-related podcast that I've been enjoying very much. As I say, it is for eaters, not foodies. And he came on, he was reading old kind of literary recipes, which was fun. And then he was speaking about his own life, which was fascinating. If you've ever wanted to know about LeVar Burton growing up and eating food that had quote-unquote fallen off the back of a van, that is the podcast to listen to. But he also talked about this book he really liked. And, you know, he did a lot of books on Reading Rainbow, just a ton. But the one food-related one that he wanted to bring up was the one we're doing today.
Okay.
And so I was curious because I'd never read it. It is definitely, because it was on Reading Rainbow, more than 20 years old. It falls within our parameters. Are you ready to look at it?
I'm surprised you're not waiting until Thanksgiving to do this one.
Trust me, I have my reasons.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go.
Enemy Pie.
By?
Derek Munson?
Sure. And I should say, I'm really sad that you brought up Thanksgiving, because this would have been an appropriate one completely. There's pie, for God's sake.
Yeah.
That's a Thanksgiving thing. This
sure
would have been
is.
A brilliant Thanksgiving picture book to do.
Well, maybe
what
not.
What the freaking heck happened?
Well, maybe not pie with what looks like worms
can
coming
we do,
out of
you know
it.
How they do like Christmas in July? Can
yeah.
we do like
Thanksgiving
in
April?
That's a thing, right?
Sure, Betsy.
No, it would be May, even then, if it was like 6 months away. Darn it.
Well,
darn.
We can do Thanksgiving in April for your birthday.
Oh, you're so sweet.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Take that book and read it.
Okay.
While Kate does her read, let's learn more about the creators of Enemy Pie. Good luck with all that. I'm sorry, folks. I am striking out this month. In the past, I've been able to find so much information on the creation of the books that I'm talking about, the people who created them. I'm not doing well this particular month. Like, let's take Enemy Pie as a good example of this. So you're going to ask me, Betsy, is there an enemypie.com? And folks, I'm happy to report that yes, most certainly there is. Derek Munson created it, and it talks all about how to have Derek Munson come to your school. And I'm like, okay, well, that's great. Hope he's still doing that. But the website has been updated as of 2023. So that's, you know, not ideal, but it's pretty good. It does link to his blog. So Derek Munson, the author of this book, had a blog until in 2016, where he discusses at length in his final post his failure to write a book that was basically Hatchet. Like, he was writing this book, and then he realized after he read Hatchet that he was trying to write Hatchet, and Hatchet was better. And then he just ends the blog, and you're like, okay, so maybe Derek Munson kind of petered out as a lead, but there was another person who was involved with Enemy Pie. That was the illustrator, Tara Callahan King. Tara Callahan King! Surely I can find some information on her. No, I could not. If you try to follow her links to her website, that website is defunct. If you try to find other books that she's done, she did do a picture book called Odd Velvet, which, two thumbs up on that title. She didn't write the title, but she did the art for it, so that's great. Beyond that, I can find nothing. This is kind of an interesting situation. Sometimes authors and illustrators of children's picture books try it, and maybe they'll have a big success with one book, and then they will give it up and go on to other things in their lives. This does happen. And I'm afraid in this particular case, this is what happened with both the author and the illustrator, in spite of the fact that LeVar Burton is often seen with this book on his chest as he reclines amongst picture books. It did not mean that these two creators went on to fame and fortune with other books in the future. They kind of went back to their day jobs. Whatever those day jobs were, I don't know what they were. Their websites do not say. So, the moral of the story today is, update your website. Kate, did you ever read the book How to Eat Fried Worms?
No.
It's a classic.
Maybe?
I don't know. If we ever decide that this whole picture book podcast thing isn't working out, we want to move on to like older books for kids, that's going to be the first one I suggest. How to Eat Fried Worms. That's a classic. And I don't know why I'm thinking about it today, though. I don't know why.
Really?
It's really...
You're not sure?
It's weird. It just popped in my brain, but I can't figure out what the connection would be to anything that's going on in my life right now.
Could it be worms?
Oh, maybe it's worms.
There's so many
worms.
It
could be worms.
There's the millions of worms.
So many worms.
If you love worms, this is the book for you.
If you like eating them, I can think of two children's books that you might be interested in. Just off the top of my head, yeah.
Well, this is the classic kid's got an enemy, kid becomes friends with enemy, kid no longer has enemy. It's fine. It's
okay. Sterling recommendation. It's fine. Right. Raves Kate from Fuse 8 and Kate podcast.
Wish there were more worms.
Needs more worms.
Yeah.
Could have used a worm or two.
Could
in
have
addition
used
to the ones there.
Different illustrations, honestly.
Oh, well, we'll get to that.
Well,
yes.
Let's start with this kid who's having a great summer with his weird haircut and fish eyes. And then he...
But we're not judgy or anything.
Oh, I'm 100% judging
100%. Kate's in a judgy mood today, folks. Super judgy.
Well, and he has an enemy. He decides he has an enemy.
He has reasons.
The reasons are the kid laughed at him when the enemy, Jeremy Ross, struck him out at a baseball game. And Jeremy Ross had a party and didn't invite our main character.
But did invite our main character's best friend, right?
Yeah,
isn't
but,
that part of it?
But
yeah.
this kid, Jeremy Ross, the enemy, how is he supposed to know that they were best friends if he's new to the neighborhood?
You know what? That's a completely legitimate question, but not something that has occurred to our main character.
Well, it's interesting that the villain is only referred to by their full name in the beginning. It's not Jeremy, but Jeremy Ross this, Jeremy Ross that. And usually, don't enemies usually stem from some sort of jealousy when you're a kid?
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
So that's what's happening here.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Also, sometimes it's just cool to say a person's full name.
Well, Jeremy Ross is good at baseball, and he's got a trampoline, and this kid doesn't like that. So,
well, if someone I didn't like had a trampoline, I'd also be pissed off, because trampolines are freaking cool.
Well, they used to be, but now they're all, like, safety.
They can be huge, though. Even though they're like, I know, look at the disdain. We're like, kid can't even break an arm these days.
Right?
What's the point?
Back in my day, you could jump off a trampoline and break your arm. That's how you did it.
That was the natural way.
That was the American
way. God's will.
Yeah, that was American way.
It's like, if God wanted you to have that bone in one place, you wouldn't have fallen off.
Exactly. Well, instead, this kid, he goes to his dad and he's like, Dad, I got this enemy. How do I get rid of him? And Dad goes to a written recipe that he keeps in a recipe book, which I think is that dates this book
completely.
A bit.
I mean, okay, to be fair, I do have written recipes in a book, but recipe cards are actually kind of a thing of the past, at least in my generation.
Well, it's
because I'm a parent.
It's from a worn out scrap of paper, so it's not a card. It's a it's got faded writing on a scrap of paper that he keeps in a recipe book.
I just recopy them into my current book, but yeah, sure. You do you, dad of this weird kid, who's not named Jeremy Ross. Who knows what this kid's named? We've heard one name this entire time, and it is not the main character.
Well, and Dad decides, you know what? I'm gonna bake an enemy pie. Mm. So this page where Dad is making said pie, I really don't like how far apart their eyes are on their head.
Wow, it's like Dad's an ostrich and he can only see on like either, like, or a horse. He can only see on either side. He can't see straight ahead.
It's a fish.
Yeah, it's kind of like a fish.
They're fish.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, the kid too, though. I mean, it's genetic.
Exactly, both of them.
Yeah, you know, kid would take after his parents. That makes sense.
But I do like that the recipe calls for, you can see he's got like a measuring cup with probably milk in it.
Sure.
Probably some sugar here.
Looks like
an egg.
Yeah.
And a bottle of limoncello.
Wait, what? Okay. I'd eat that pie.
Right?
That sounds good.
Enemy pie. Get your enemy drunk.
Okay, so I don't know what year this came out, but is there a recipe in the back of this book? Because at a certain point, you could not bake anything in a picture book without including the recipe at the end. So is there a recipe at the back? No! This is an old book we're dealing with, folks. A pre-recipe in the back matter.
Well,
picture book
the kid,
situation.
The kid is thinking, like, okay, this pie must need, like, you know, weeds from the garden or earthworms or rocks or the
rat poison or arsenic or broken glass.
Nope. Dad says, nope, doesn't need any of those things. You go out and play while I bake this pie.
This pie from hell.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, all right, he plays a little bit of basketball. He throws a boomerang that gets stuck on the roof of the garage.
Sounds about right. Well, I'm sorry. I'm impressed he got it that far. Boomerangs never got far when I had one. I had one as a kid.
Yeah.
They don't work.
Well, they don't work for
him.
They're
kind of like, they were the drones of the 80s. Let's say that. It just didn't go where you wanted
them
to go.
That's the quote for this book.
That's our pull quote.
Boomerangs, the drones of the 80s.
It's true. I'm sorry, but I'm completely justified in the statement.
Well, he's playing by himself when he smells something really good, and he's really confused because the pie shouldn't be tasting good. But he goes inside, and Dad takes the pie out of the oven, and two things I notice about the illustration. Number one, this kid has the weirdest haircut. He's got like a cowlick, but like itty bitty bitty bangs. It's so awkward. And then two, if you actually look closely, he has eyelashes, which I feel like
eyelids.
Okay. Well, he's kind of got eyelids.
Oh,
but,
okay. Thank God. Because that'd be really weird otherwise.
But usually you tell me, like, illustrations, usually the girls have eyelashes and the boys don't.
That's how you distinguish the two.
But this kid, he's got eyelashes.
Well, you know why? Because there's no girls in this book. So
there's girls in this book.
Are there? Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I take it back then.
Now, Dad tells the kid, okay, but the last thing I can't do, you're going to have to do it yourself. You have to spend a day with your enemy.
Lord.
And even worse, you have to be nice to him. It's not going to be easy, but are you sure you want to go through with this? And the kid's like, yeah.
No, it's worth it, man.
I'm going to do it. I'm totally going to do it.
Got to kill this little kid somehow, so.
Yep, know. So he goes over to Jeremy Ross's house, in case you were wondering what his name is. And he knocks on the door, but it says, when Jeremy opened the door.
Ooh, he's already lost his last name.
Perhaps
a shift in loyalties?
Perhaps, but if you were to look at this illustration, well, folks, since this is a podcast, you can't see what it looks like, but I'm going to give you the perfect description. It's two nondescript white boys.
No, Their hairlines hit different areas, and they have different colored hair.
It's two nondescript white boys.
They're two nondescript white boys. One has a little bit more bangs under his eyeballs.
Okay.
Or bags. Sorry, bangs would be...
Bangs under his eyeballs.
Highly disturbing. That would be a more interesting art like
sure would.
Choice, though. Yeah.
Nope. So, he goes over to this kid's house. He says, can you play? Jeremy's like,
are you going to kill me?
Okay. Yeah. And so they start off by riding their bikes, and then they play on the trampoline. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Ross knows how to throw a boomerang, apparently. Yeah.
That means he know how to fly a drone.
Sure.
As my logic tells me.
And then Jeremy Ross notices the treehouse. And so he asks, can I go in it? And of course, this is where the enemy list lives.
So a moral quandary.
Well, the kid decides, okay, yeah, you can go up. And I'm like, oh man, I want to see what happens when Jeremy Ross sees the enemy list.
This is some drama.
No, the main kid. No, the main kid goes up first.
And he destroys the evidence.
He removes the enemy list off the wall, and then they play some checkers. And I was like, man, I really wanted to see what was going to happen.
No, we could have had a very good emotional moment there. Yeah. Like, how dare you?
Not so much. Nope. Dad says, hey, we got dinner ready. And he made mac and cheese and the pie. Mac and cheese for dinner. Yeah.
That was such an 80s thing. Okay. I thought it was just our family, but apparently lots of people did this. Okay.
Yeah. When you're looking at the illustration of the mac and cheese coming out of the oven, I do like the fear in weird fish eyes as he's looking at the pie.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh.
The pie is so tiny compared to the mac and cheese. Like, the mac and cheese is like a huge
The pie is so
meal.
Tiny compared to this balloon head.
So eventually, if we're being technical, the pie fits between this boy's eyeballs. So imagine a pie that could fit between your eyeballs, and that is how large this pie is.
This must have been before the days of asking, do you eat gluten or dairy?
100%.
Because...
Yeah, he didn't ask
Jeremy Ross
point.
Is getting both.
Yeah.
The kid can't eat gluten or dairy. Yeah. Maybe that's how he dies. It's not from the pie.
Exactly. That was a red herring.
Exactly.
It's actually the mac and cheese.
So you're looking at these kids who are eating, or are getting ready to eat the pie.
With ice cream.
And you can see in the background, there is a framed picture of what looks like a nuclear family.
A mom,
a dad, and two kids.
Wait, where's the second kid and where's the mom?
So his sister was
other partner.
So the sister, his little sister, it says in the beginning that she's gone away to camp for 3 weeks. So that's great.
So where is the partner of his dad?
That's a great question.
Ooh.
So there's some sort of female figure in the picture frame. We don't know if...
Okay, you think it's female? Okay. It's very blurry.
I'm assuming that's what they're going for.
Yeah, this was a long time ago. They probably weren't that forward thinking.
Yeah. So the kid is like, Jeremy, don't eat it. It's bad pie. Because he feels guilty that he's going to poison his new friend.
Right.
And Jeremy's looking at him like he's crazy. And then he's like, but your dad's eating it. He's fine. So what's the problem here?
Dad looks super weird. If you looked at
they
that guy.
They all look super weird,
I know,
Betsy.
But if you saw that guy across the table from you, would you eat what he was eating?
Well, it's and just Dad strange. Says it's good stuff. So
it's good stuff.
Here's what I'm wondering, though. Dad is eating what looks like cherry pie with a cup of coffee.
I think it looks like blueberry, because he's got sort of a purple stain on his
face.
Well,
but the pie is red.
Okay, fair.
So the kids are eating cherry pie with glasses of grape juice. Would you rather eat cherry pie with coffee or grape juice?
Even I don't drink coffee, but you would have coffee with pie and not grape juice. Grape juice with cherry pie?
Sure. Sweet and tart?
What the freaking heck? No! Are you a mad woman? That goes against all of God's laws.
Yeah, like, what else
nature itself abhors the combination.
What do you want them to drink? OJ?
Milk!
Milk?
Well, if you drink milk. I mean, the kid could be lactose intolerant. We don't know. I'm willing to open up milk or water.
He's eating ice cream.
Milk
so.
Or water.
Okay.
Maybe lemonade. I might be able to tip that far, but that is as far as I go.
It is summer. Yeah, that'd be appropriate.
Right, but not great. grape juice.
Well, anyway, after dessert, they go back to Jeremy's house and play on the trampoline a bit, and then they decide, you know, the next day he's going to be invited back to jump on the trampoline, and he's so happy. But I do like the last line of this book, saying, you know, I still wonder if enemies really do hate, like, enemy pie, but I don't know if I'll ever get an answer because I just lost my best enemy.
Oh, that's good. That's, you know what?
That's good.
That's a good, that stuck the landing.
Yeah.
It's really hard, as I mentioned before, to stick the landing on a picture book, and that one did it.
Yep, the end.
All right. Yeah, as I said in my back matter notes, I can find no information on this author or this illustrator. Aside from the fact that the author was around until about 2016 and then just sort of disappeared from the face of the earth, and pretty much just based his life on doing school appearances with this book.
Mm.
Never really had a book that could meet it in terms of fame. Yeah. So, ratings time.
I really do not like the illustrations.
I am with you.
The last page, they have 22 front teeth. Front
Nightmares
teeth.
Nightmares are made of these.
You can see 22 front
wow.
teeth. You don't know how many are in the back.
Yeah, they're like sharks. They just keep coming.
And they have eyes like a fish.
They do.
But
they do. It's an artistic style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, illustrations aside, it's nice that the dad took care of the situation and he did the baking without a mother figure.
I agree.
Stepping in to do both.
Yeah, it doesn't have the, I don't know what to do in the kitchen type situation. Dad knows how to make a pie. Well played, Dad.
Or Dad has the solution and Mom's going to make the pie.
Oh my God.
Right?
That could easily have been done. Yeah. Thankfully, Mom's out of the picture?
Question mark? Yeah. I feel like this would help maybe some kids, but not all. Some kids are just...
I don't think this is a blueprint. Yeah.
No, some kids are just bullies and there's no way around it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, come hang out with me, punch, you know, that would not end well.
No. So it does have an easy to remember title, but it's not my favorite. So it's like a down the line, straight up 5 for me.
Yeah. I actually tip a little lower than you. I think I can see what it's trying to do. And it has kind of a fun conceit. And it sticks the landing, which is more than we could say for Ginger Bear, which ended with that bizarre
question
at the end of the book. This is the book we did last week. Even so, I do not feel that the art lives up to the text, and I do not feel that the text is particularly extraordinary. I think it is fine. This certainly is not a blueprint for any child on how to deal with a bully. You are absolutely correct. Many is the time you would, if you wanted to try this technique, all power to you.
I just realized what they should have been drinking with the cherry pie.
What's that?
Limoncello.
You know, I might have upped my rating if that had been what they've been drinking.
Right?
But as it says. Also, this kid is not a bully, I should point out. He's moved to town and he doesn't understand the ins and outs of the complicated, like, you know, community and social connections of the kids there.
He laughs when he strikes out. The opposing team,
which many children do. Right, if your teammate laughs when you get struck out, that's one thing. If the person trying to strike you out laughs, that's another. And also, we don't know to what degree he laughs. Like, does he just, like, run up to him and go, ha 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 ha, in his face? Or does he laugh on the mound and then walk away and forget about it 3 seconds later? And you're sitting there dwelling on it for days and weeks afterwards. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. In any case, I'm a 4.5. I'm not a fan of this book.
Okay. With our scores combined, it's below a 5.
It's
so it's
a toe below the line.
Not a classic.
I'm sorry. I am sorry to LeVar Burton.
Wow.
I must disagree with you at least this one point.
Fair enough.
That's all right. Letters time.
Ooh.
Actually, we have kind of a sad letter that was accidentally sent to us, but it gives me a chance to sort of pay homage to an author, illustrator that I was quite fond of. This was from Chris Chaban, who is an author, illustrator in his own right, and he wrote, "Hi, Betsy. We used to be in touch in earlier times. I'm an illustrator here in Chicago. Wanted to pass on sad news if you hadn't heard. Etienne de Lazare passed away a couple of nights ago. I've worked with his wife, Rita, at Creative Edition, since the 90s. He'd had a stroke a year ago and never really improved. Terribly sad. Anyway, hope you've been well. Best to you and your sister. So Etienne de Lezere, I actually knew very well. He was one of the few author-illustrators who would call me on a regular basis, like, just randomly. Like, any time it occurred to him. Could be a weekend, could be when I was at work. And I always made time for the guy. He was always interesting. This guy knew everyone. He was friends with Eric Carle. He was friends with, oh gosh, just, you know, Maurice Sendak. Like, you know, you name the person, he knew them back in the day. And back in 2015, I wrote a blog post. It was just one blog post on how children's books from other countries were received in America. He created an entire symposium based on my blog post called Where the Wild Books Are. And he got, he made me the keynote speaker. He got Leonard Marcus and Junko Yokota and Geta Wolf and David McCauley and Steve Guarnaccia. They all showed up and they spoke, and I learned more about Pinocchio than I'd ever learned in my life. And he passed away, and I knew he'd had a stroke, but I didn't know to what degree. I hadn't gotten a call from him in a while. And after he died, I looked into his life. Turns out he did a bunch of Sesame Street shorts, which are well worth looking up, folks, if you ever see them. He was a finalist for the Hans Christian Andersen Award. He collaborated with Ionesco, who is quite the playwright. He created an animated show for Swiss TV called Yak Yak. He had a huge life, and I'm just sad that I won't be getting any more phone calls from him.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
It's all right. I couldn't really put it in the grown-up things I like, so I put it in the letter section. But if you ever have a chance to look up his books, folks, they looked like nobody else's. He had the most distinctive style.
Etienne, and, how do you pronounce
it? De Lezere. He was Swiss, but he was the French-speaking part of Switzerland. So, yeah. He was a great guy. He was very funny. And I'll miss him very much.
Oh.
Yeah. Let's see. We already did letters time. Grown-up things we like.
You go first.
Okay, well, let's do a happy thing. This weekend, I will be going to Kansas City, Missouri, because The Rabbit Hole has having its final amazing celebratory, like, opening. This is the Explorastorium. It has recently been featured in the New York Times and NPR, and all sorts of folks are finally featuring it, which is good. I was really worried that it wasn't getting the press it deserved. This is basically a museum where you can interact directly with picture books. You can go into the Great Green Room. You can become the grandma ghost and rock in the rocking chair. You can get in the bed. You can also press on a secret panel in the fireplace and go through a secret tunnel. If you're a kid, it's small enough for kids. There's a lot of secret tunnels. And just tons of picture books you can go into and interact in. If you are in Kansas City, there is no excuse for not going to it. No shame on Kansas City, but this is going to be like the number one thing that people are going to be visiting there. So I'm going this weekend to kick it all off, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, Tig Notaro, she's a comedian.
I love her.
She has a new special on Amazon Prime called Hello Again. If you're not familiar with her, I think I've recommended her documentary called Tig. It's on Netflix. It walks through her comedy set where she announced she had cancer and the meeting of her wife, Stephanie. This special goes into some of the newer medical issues she's had, but she's so funny. Like when she had back surgery and found out she was allergic to the pain meds they were giving her at the hospital, so she starts hallucinating and texting, which is not a good combination.
Oh, no.
Or when she had a stomach ache so bad she had to be carried out by a fireman out of her house. And she's a lesbian, but she was like, I get it now. But she's the type of comedian who will take a bit and stretch it out for as long as humanly possible, where it's funny and then it's not funny, but then it comes back to being funny again.
Yeah, that's
cool. That's definitely the end of this special. So I know I've recommended her podcast with Mae Martin and Fortune Feimster called Handsome, but this new special is very funny. It's just annoying. Amazon Prime Video has ads, but it's still worth checking out. So it's called Hello Again.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, this is a rare occasion where I actually don't have a book prepared for next week.
Ooh.
Ahead of time. So what is going to be? It's still going to be April, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
spring
I don't
even know. Recommendations.
All right, y'all. If y'all have spring recommendations we haven't done before, and trust me, we have done a lot of them, but I would be willing to try a new spring book.
Sure.
So, yeah. We'll see.
The more the merrier.
All right. I'm going to completely surprise you next week with
Ooh.
Something.
Bring it on. And you surprise me every week, Betsy. I don't know.
That's true. I never walk, I never end the show with like, and next week I'm doing Enemy Pie.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
Like, yeah, no. So, all right. Well, I will surprise you
once
and surprise
again.
Myself as well.
You will surprise me for the 315th time.
Oh, that sounds good. And until I surprise you, our listener, I've been Betsy.
I'm Kate.
Bye. Fuse 8 and Kate is a Fuse Number 8 production. You can reach us at FuseKate8@gmail.com. You can follow our podcast at Twitter at Fuse_Kate. You can follow us on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Fuse8Kate. That's Fuse Number 8 Kate. Listen to us on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, Audible, Amazon Music, or Player FM. Or follow us on iTunes and rate our podcast if you're so inclined. Our music is by Haddon Kime, and our logo is by Andrea Sarumi, and our tyrant god emperor is Drew Atienza. Fuse 8 and Kate is a creation of Kate Atienza and Betsy Bird.